And as I've said many times, young people, good job. I give you questions that are hard, and you make, I don't even know if it's lemonade out of lemons, but you make something out of it, and it is good. It is good. Our text today for you that I have is on page 1044 and 1045 of your pew Bible. It's the beginning of the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and then we'll jump ahead to chapter 2, verses 5 through 12. And although there is a great distance between these two passages, you know, a little bit here, a little there, try to hold them both together as we spend our time on page 1044 and 45 of your pew Bible. Listen and hear God's word. In many ways, and many and various ways, God spoke of old to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. He reflects the glory of God and bears the very stamp of his nature, upholding the universe by his word of power. When he had made purification for sin, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has obtained is more excellent than theirs. Moving on to chapter 2, verses 5 through 12. For it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. It has been testified somewhere. What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou carest for him? Thou didst make him a little lower than the angels. Thou hast crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. Now, in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. As it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him, but we see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. And it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, and bringing many sons to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified have all one origin. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will proclaim thy name to my brethren in the midst of the congregation. I will praise thee. The word of the Lord. Let us pray together. Loving God, we are grateful to be gathered this morning on World Communion Sunday. Grateful to be here with you, with one another, around this table. As we stop now and consider your words, mighty God, we ask you to speak to our hearts and to our minds so that the sacrament that we partake of soon would continue to help us grow in faith now. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. World Communion Sunday is an interesting intersection point in time. It's a good place, I think, to begin noticing and lingering around how scarcity, the youth and I talked about it, and prosperity are all around us. And more than being all around us, how they frame the narrative that we live into. Scarcity, prosperity are poles that you and I, like our youth this morning, will vacillate back and forth between. For instance, looking out my window this week, I could see and hear signs that God is everywhere, doing everything, blessing us all more than we would anticipate or expect. I heard the children this week on the CNS playground yelling and squealing in joy. Obvious joy, there was no tears involved, I don't think. I felt the gentle breeze that blew across my yard as I walked out to check the mail, and I could hear, as a friend of mine says, the sound of autumn in the trees. And yet, out of that same window view comes thoughts that begin with the yeah, but. Yeah, but. Scarcity and prosperity coming together in the narrative of my life to frame how my week was going to take shape. Yes, it is quite beautiful outside. The color on the trees speaks to God's presence in creativity, but, and I won't say it loudly, it's going to snow soon. It's calm and gentle on that day, and yet today I was woke to rain, and now it's very gray. Or it is good to be together here, family of Christ, but the Delta variant and COVID issues are right around the corner. And they're still there, yap, snapping at our heels. I could spend all of what remains of this morning, the 34 more minutes until noon, thinking and speaking with you just about places you've noticed scarcity and prosperity crossing one another. Not even talking about God's scarcity or blessing. And yet this is World Communion Sunday. This is the day that our friends, our sisters and brothers in faith, our colleagues in Nepal have come together around tables much like this one and celebrated just as Jesus taught them to celebrate, coming together, breaking bread, and symbolically pouring the cup. And they were community. We are community together. This is the day that we notice this prosperity of God's presence and his provision in our lives, while also realizing, as Lily so quickly grabbed onto when we talked about scarcity, there are some places of lack and suffering right among us, and God is present there too. So let's think about this idea for just a moment together. Let's try to name it, if we can, what's happening here in our text before we partake of the sacrament, for you come forward as we do. Let's notice in our text today how God addresses these fears and anxieties that our world seems to thrive upon, and they match the stress levels that we deal with. Let's put all that up against the God who is and the God who helps us to prosper. So our text begins today with God. Good place to start, right? The voice of the Lord coming forth into all of creation, speaking of the air of creation, saying, I am calling the air to speak. That's Jesus, right? The divine Son of God stepping up into the chaos of the world and speaking, coming forth. Chaos, the very way that creation began, as God gazed out from the heavenly realm and spoke life into existence, as we know, into being. As Sue talked about in our reading from Genesis, bringing it up out of the dirt. The place of lifelessness becoming the place of blessedness by the word of God. There was scarcity. And then there was not. And God's voice was there. But chaos was not only present at the foundation of the world, as we read about in Genesis. Human response to God's action, and we call that sin from time to time, seems to lead us towards that same scarce, chaotic place in our lives. How do we know it was chaotic? Look at how our text begins this morning from the NRSV, a slight variation of what we read together. Long ago, it says, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, and I add parenthetically, in these last days when God is not easy to find, he has spoken to us by his Son. These are not meaningless introductory words. God spoke to God's people because God knew, understood, that a time would come when they might find themselves unable to locate this air, the air, in their daily lives, in their community's life. God knew at that time, all the way then, long ago, it says, that when that happened, when their chaotic, stress-filled, scarce, separated lives began to become too much, we would need someone to speak for us and to us, the air. This chaoticness that God spoke to us through, this chaos that God helped his Son break past to speak to us, has many names. Names we might be familiar with. Names with meaning and significance. Names that we might have something to say as well as we consider this scarcity as the people of God. Author Margaret Wheatley, whose words I very much enjoy reading, comments on this idea for us on World Communion Sunday when she says this, and I know this is a longer citation from her. Most of us, she says, have experienced this ride of chaos in our lives when God seemed far off and the world we knew was lacking. At the personal level, chaos has gone by many names, including the dark night of the soul or depression. Always, the experience, she says, is a profound meaning of loss. Nothing seems to hold the same value as it did once. These dark nights have been well documented. They are part of the human experience. As we reflect upon the times when we personally have descended into chaos and when God seemed far off from us, we will notice that as it ends, we emerge changed. Stronger in some ways, new perhaps. God has held us in the dance of creation, and we have learned that growth always requires passage through this fearful realm of chaos and into God's hands. Remember our text. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors. It can indeed feel so long ago, so distant, since the last time we can remember hearing God speak, and that apparent separation can make each of us suspect that God is now too far off, too distant, too uncaring, and our world feels too chaotic. But God still has a final word to offer his people that is rooted and grounded in this air, this Jesus who is with us and who endured so much for us and helped us still learn, as Wheatley says, how to dance again. The scarcity that we witness to and speak about, the things that make each of us wonder if God is here or not in our times of need and lack, the thing that highlights the chaos of our world and in our community, it does not have the last word in our text. I can look out my window and I can see death. Those leaves that are turning orange and yellow are all dying. And the future winter is coming. But God still invites us forward. God still invites us to take his hand and dance with him in the creation. While this statement is known, while you might have predicted that I would talk about this before we go to the Lord's table, we often miss the reality of how God is present with us in the chaos each and every day. We might just be tempted, even for just a short moment, to think that God is too separated from us, when in the fact the air and the air's presence and his voice is our release point. The person of Jesus is close at hand, bringing salvation to us, out and for us. This work of Jesus, this presence in the chaos of life, a mixture of prosperity and scarcity, is the truth that Jesus suffers for us, beside us and with us. He, the one who was present at the foundational moment of creation, chose to enter our lives when we sense lack and separation. He helped us create creation. He helped us, using Wheatley's words, to dance again. And so now it is time to come to the table once again on World Communion Sunday, as many, many sisters and brothers of the faith have already done so and will continue to do so today. We come to receive the sacrament, and while not passing the plates today, while processing forward and trying to keep some distance between one another, and while that feels like a practice of separation and scarcity, God is here, offering to us a Son who is present, a perspective that is different, a prosperity that is indeed possible. I wonder today, what might happen in you as you come forward, as you cradle and take the elements, hold them in your hand in this time? I invite you to take an extra moment as we go through the liturgy together to remember the God who is greater, the God who is more present, the God who gives far more than we could first have believed was possible. So that when we feel ourselves scarce, lacking, grieving, and suffering, that prosperity comes right along beside us. Will you pray with me?